This lecture is for Unit 1, Basic Computing Concepts, including History. It's the first unit in Component 4, Introduction to Information and Computer Science. The use of the word computer was first recorded in 1613. At that time, it referred to a person who was doing calculations or computations. And this term was used all the way up until the mid-20th century, until at that point, the term computers began to refer to the electronic devices we know today. Calculations have been done by humans for most of existence. The earliest evidence of any sort of computation were tally sticks that were found from at least 35,000 BC, but they could have been used even earlier. These tally sticks are the first tools man has used to help with computations. The motivation for these tools, like for computers, is to help speed the calculations and make them more accurate. The first calculator is often considered to be the abacus. It was first invented by Babylonians in 2400 BC, and there have been many subsequent versions. The first abacus was a counting board used by Sumerians. Other versions were developed in Greece, China, Japan, Roman Empire, and in Russia. It's used for counting before there were even written numbers, and it's a way of keeping track of numbers. It's still in use today by Asian shopkeepers in Asia and in Asian communities across the world. By the Middle Ages, number systems were developed and were being used. John Napier discovered and developed logarithms at the turn of the 17th century. And William Oughtred used these algorithms to invent the slide rule in 1621 in England. It's used for multiplication, division, logarithms, roots, and trigonometric functions. It was used up until the early 1970s when electronic calculators became available, and they were far easier and more convenient to use for calculations. You could still find some around today, though. Another type of early computer is a mechanical computer, and these use mechanical parts to automate calculations. Often these mechanical parts were gears, and they'd be turned in such a way that would make calculations done and calculated automatically. Very limited operations they could perform, usually a lot, sometimes it was just addition. The first one was the ancient Antikythera computer from 150 BC, and it used gears to calculate the position of the sun and the moon. After that, though, mechanical computers were mostly built in the mid-15th through mid-19th century. They only performed simple arithmetic operations. An example of one of these mechanical computers is one that was designed by Leonardo da Vinci in Italy. And there were two notebooks that were discovered in 1967 that showed drawings for a mechanical calculator. But as far as anyone knows, they were never actually built. So Dr. Robert Gertelli built a replica in 1968 in New York. And you can see here, there's the segment of the notes that showed Leonardo's design, and then a picture of the replica that was actually built. Blaise Pascal also built a mechanical computer in the 17th century. He was a mathematician, and his arithmetic machine was based on the technology of gears. An output was achieved by observing the position of the gears, and input was also turning the gears. It was built to perform only addition, and about 50 machines were created at the time to add sums of money. And this is a picture of what Pascal's machine was, the Pascaline machine, and what it looked like. Von Leibniz, who is also another mathematician, built what he called the step reckoner. And this mechanical computer actually did a variety of arithmetic operations, not just addition. It could do addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, and evaluation of square roots by a series of stepped additions. That's why it was called a step reckoner. And the algorithms themselves for doing these operations were embedded in the hardware of the actual mechanical computer. And you can see here that you could see how the output of the calculation was observed by the position of the gears in the drawing here. Now, as we get further in time and get into the 18th and early 19th century, there are the devices, the mechanical computers, are beginning to look and act more like the computers we think of today. And Charles Babbage designed what's called the difference engine. And it's a device that is considered by most to be a computer in the modern sense of the word. It was conceived in 1822 by the eccentric British mathematician and inventor Charles Babbage. It was used to tabulate polynomials, which could be used to compute logarithmic and trigonometric functions. It wasn't built at the time. It was considered too difficult. Modern scientists and engineers have created working models of the difference engine within the past 20 years. And one of the earlier difference engines was constructed from original drawings, and it's at the London Science Museum. The final machine, which was built in modern times, was constructed from a cast iron, bronze and steel, consisted of 4,000 components, weighed 3 tons, and was 10 feet wide by 6.5 feet tall. Babbage abandoned his difference machine in favor of designing what he called the analytical engine. And the designs for this analytical engine include almost all essential logical features of a modern computer. The engine was programmable because it used punched cards. And the idea to use punched cards for input for the computer was taken from Jacquard's weaving machines that used punched cards to establish the patterns that would appear in the woven textile that came out of the loom. And Babbage saw this and thought this would be a great way to be able to program a computer to do different types of things. The computer itself had a store, which is similar to the memory in computers today. It held numbers and intermediate results. And it had a separate mill where arithmetic processing was performed. The separation of the store, which is memory, and the mill, which is the central processor, is a fundamental feature of modern computers today. The analytical engine could have looped, meaning it could repeat operations over and over again. And it was also capable of conditional branching, meaning it could do an if-then. So if some condition were true, then it could do something else. The engine would have been vast if it had been built at the time. It would have needed to be operated by a steam engine of some kind. Babbage made little attempt to raise funds for it. Instead, he continued to work on simpler and cheaper methods of manufacturing parts and built a small trial model, which was under construction at the time of his death. Now, the first programmer is considered to be Ada Byron, or Lady Lovelace, who wrote the first computer programs for the analytical engine. And what happened is that Ada Byron, or Augusta Aden Byron, Countess of Lovelace, which was her full name, she was a daughter of Lord Byron, the poet, but raised by her mother to be a mathematician and scientist. She was translating a text from French about Babbage's machines and added notes at the end, one of which had an algorithm, or basically a written out listing of a program of how to compute Bernoulli numbers using the analytical engine. And if she had actually had the chance to work with the engine, if it had been built at the time, she would have written essentially a computer program for that machine. While these advances in mechanical computers were going on, the U.S. started the National Library of Medicine, which was originally started as the Library of the Surgeon General. One of the early leaders, John Shaw Billings, grew the collection and started to index the material. And you can tell this is important because it starts getting us towards the modern era of having large amounts of data that needs to be indexed. He also played a role in development of computers, as will be seen on subsequent slides. Also at this time, in the 19th century, electricity was being developed. And electricity really helped computers become much more vast and powerful. The mechanical computers had to be way too big and have all these large gears in order for calculations to be done. Electricity provided a much easier way to represent information by a series of electrical pulses and made the computers much smaller. So these computers were used initially, were created to use electricity along with mechanical gears to do calculations. At the end of the 19th century, Hermann Hollerith created the tabulating machine for the 1890 census, and he did this with prompting from John Shaw Billings, who was one of the first leaders of the National Library of Medicine. Hermann started the tabulating machine company in 1896, and he did this because he knew that the U.S. Census would need these machines every 10 years when it would be doing the census. He did sell the machine to T.J. Watson in 1914, and T.J. Watson was the founder of IBM. IBM manufactured and marketed a wide variety of business machines, and it added the Hollerith card equipment to its line. So eventually this card equipment became part of IBM. Like the analytical machine, the tabulating machine used punch cards for input. These punch cards could be used to program the machine, but it could also be used for inputting data into the machine. The version by Hermann Hollerith was patented on June 18, 1887, and used with the mechanical tabulating machines in the 1890 U.S. Census. At the time, these cards were about 90 millimeters by 215 millimeters with round holes, and they were created to be this size because it was the same size as the dollar bill at the time, so the storage cabinets designed for money could also be used for the cards. The early applications of punch cards all used specifically designed card layouts, each for its specific machine. It wasn't until around 1928 that punch cards and machines were made general purpose. In that year, punch cards were made to be a standard size, exactly 7 3/8 inch by 3 1/4 inch, corresponding to the U.S. currency of the day. There are about 143 cards to the inch thickness. A group of such cards is called the deck. Punch cards were widely known as just IBM cards at the time. Punch cards were the primary way of data entry and storage to a computer from about 1900 until 1950, and were still used for data entry and programming into the 1970s until keyboards became widely used for input. In the early 20th century, there were several computers that were developed that are now known as the first generation general purpose computers. General purpose computers meaning that they can be used for a variety of different programs and provide a variety of different types of operations, and that they can be programmable. They're no longer created specifically for a task such as just arithmetic. The first ones were based on electronically controlled mechanical gears, or they're often called relays. And there were several examples of these, and they were all created about the same time. And there were some in Bell Labs, in Germany, and at Harvard, but they all did roughly about the same thing. Now at this time, if we have computers, they're going to have computer bugs. The first official record of the use of the word bug in the context of computing is associated with a relay-based Harvard Mark II computer, which was in service at the Naval Weapons Center in Dahlgren, Virginia. On September 9, 1945, a moth flew into one of the relays and jammed it. The offending moth was taped into the logbook alongside the official report, which stated, "First actual case of a bug being found." Now, this was attributed to Grace Hopper Admiral, who wrote the first compiler and helped develop the COBOL language. But the story is a bit of a legend, actually. It's not exactly true. Apparently, Grace Hopper was not there at the time, and also, the term bug had been used before this. So, when they taped this into the logbook, they were actually being tongue-in-cheek, saying the first actual case of a bug being found, because they had already used bug to refer to problems within the computer. But regardless of how exactly true this story is, the story did help cement the use of the term bug to represent a problem with a computer or a computer program. Also at this time, there were a number of general-purpose computers that belonged to this first-generation grouping that were based on vacuum tubes instead of relays. There is the Attensoft Berry computer at Iowa State, the Colossus machine that was used to for German code breaking during World War II, and the ENIAC, the Electronic Numerical Integrator and Computer, that was developed at the University of Pennsylvania. And this is a picture of the ENIAC machine. As you can tell, it is just huge. It is 10 feet tall, occupied 1,000 square feet of floor space, weighed in at approximately 30 tons, and used more than 70,000 resistors, 10,000 capacitors, 6,000 switches, and 18,000 vacuum tubes. The final machine required 150 kilowatts of power, which was enough to light a small town. 90% of ENIAC's downtime was attributed to locating and replacing burnt-out tubes. Records from 1952 show that approximately 19,000 vacuum tubes had to be replaced in that year alone, which averages out to about 50 tubes a day. It didn't have any internal memory as such, and it needed to be physically programmed by means of switches and dials. So it didn't use the punch cards at the time. But you can see here in the picture that there are a number of different types of switches and dials that were used to enter in data and programs. An interesting thing to note is that women were the first computer programmers. All these computers that were developed in the 1930s and 40s were developed during World War II. And a lot of them were used for specific military applications. So, for example, some computers were used to calculate ballistic tables during World War II. The men were off fighting in the war, so the women were the ones that were hired to program the computers during the time. The first commercially available computer, not just one that was developed by and for the government, was the UNIVAC 1, which is a Universal Automatic Computer. It was the first available in 1951 by Remington Rand. At this same time, Robert Ludlie started using computers for dental records at the National Bureau of Standards, which is the first time that computers were used for any sort of medical informatics application. The second generation of computers used transistors. The first transistor was developed in 1947 in Bell Laboratories, and it was made of germanium. Silicon transistors soon followed. These transistors were smaller, used less power, generated less heat than vacuum tubes. The IBM 1401 used transistors, which is one of the first computer chips that was created out of just transistors. The third generation of computers used integrated circuits and were known as mini computers. Robert Noyce and Jack St. Clair Kilby invented the integrated circuit. Large mainframes at the time then used the integrated circuits to increase processing speed and storage. Mini computers such as the PDP and VAX computers could be smaller because of the integrated circuit. The vacuum tubes and relays that had been used previously were just too big, and even transistors were too big. Fourth generation of computers are those that are called microcomputers. Intel released its first microprocessor chip, the 4004, in 1971 for desktop calculators. The Intel 8080 was released in 1974, and it had 4,500 transistors, the first general-purpose microprocessor. At the time, microcomputers were not meant to replace minicomputers. They were really not meant to do the same things. The microprocessors were a far more limited chip as compared to the mini computer at the time. For example, the 4004 was intended for a calculator, which was not going to have nearly the same type of power as a mini computer. And the mini computer could handle much larger programs and data. Another group of computers at the time were what were called supercomputers. Supercomputers used integrated circuits, and they were used to perform calculations on huge amounts of data. Cray Supercomputers is a company. It's still around today. It was started in 1976. and it created vector processors that could do operations in parallel. So what vector processors were just basically a line of processors in a row that would work on a corresponding sort of line of data that was in a row. As you can imagine, these computers are very difficult to program, and your data has to be regular enough that it can sort of fit into this paradigm of having, you know, each piece of data sort of held in a row and have the same calculation happen on all the pieces of data at the same time. Also at this time, this is when the early electronic medical records were being first developed and used. Dr. Morris Cohen began storing patient data at Kaiser Permanente in the late 1960s. CoStar was developed in Massachusetts General in 1968. It's still in use today, and one of its sort of founding features was that it reminds physicians of clinical guidelines. Health evaluation through logical processing, or HELP, was started at LDS Hospital in 1967. HELP also provides decision support, such as automated antibiotic consultant, which helped physicians prescribe antibiotics more effectively and appropriately, which resulted in reduced doses, cost, and adverse events over time. The concepts and plans that eventually became VA Vista was also developed in the 1970s. Vista is still in use today. It's public domain software and was the first that used a graphical user interface for these electronic medical record software.